We really feel that in order to build the best product for the user, you have to build it with the user. So many companies in general fail because they build a product and then they just give it to the user and expect them to be able to figure it out. And they can't really get inside the head of the person that's going to be using it because they don't know how their everyday works. So that's one of the keys to our success so far.
Welcome to the Digital Irish Podcast, where innovation meets heritage and global impact is the name of the game. I'm Dave Byrne, your host on this journey through the stories of Irish innovators, entrepreneurs, and creators. We are here to showcase the incredible talent that Irish visionaries bring to the world. Welcome back to the podcast, and boy, do we have a good episode for you today. This is a conversation that has been brewing for quite some time. So we are going to be speaking to Niamh Donnelly, the co-founder and chief robotics officer at Acara Robotics. If that name rings a bell for you, that may be because you have read about them potentially in Time magazine, where I found out about them. Back in 2020, I was reading an article about innovations and developments in the world of healthcare, robotics, and STEM, all working together. And Acara was called out for their groundbreaking work in their areas, and I was so captivated by their innovations. I actually reached out to Niamh Donnelly quite some time ago, but Acara have just been building and developing so much, and she's been so busy that we finally got the chance to sit down and have this conversation. So I was so excited to be able to pick her brain and just understand more about the work that Acara Robotics are doing, the need for it, and the potential for the future. Now, Niamh and the team at Acara are true game changers, and hopefully that comes through as you're listening to this podcast. So we will delve into their journey, the challenges that they are trying to overcome, and the transformative impact that they're making on the future of technology and healthcare. This is also a nice one as well, because as a former student of Trinity College Dublin, witnessing Acara spin out of Trinity just fills me with an immense sense of pride. It's a testament to the caliber of talent and innovation that Trinity College fosters. So exciting to see that. So settle in, and I'm just going to drop you straight in it. Niamh, firstly, I want to just thank you so much for taking out the time to join us on the podcast today. For the listeners, just before we started recording, Niamh was explaining we're recording this right in the start of January. This is peak flu season. So for Niamh and the team, this is an exceptionally busy time for you at the moment. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. So at Acara, we build UV disinfection robots for making hospitals safer from superbugs. And so anytime around winter, flu season, coming into January is always a particularly busy time for us.
Well, I very much appreciate you taking out the time then to chat to us. I want to take you back, because before we get into superbugs and the work that you and the team are doing, I wanted to learn a little bit more about yourself. So, I know that you studied mechanical engineering in university. So what inspired the expansion of your knowledge into AI and data science?
Yeah, I guess while I was doing my mechanical engineering degree, I kind of was seeing computer science and kind of the tech industry starting to boom. And, you know, all these big tech companies were coming over to Ireland, setting up headquarters here. So when I graduated, I knew I wanted to move more towards computer science. So I got a job at a US company called Etsy. And they were actually a startup that had just gone into IPO. So it was a really kind of interesting time to work there. And I was working as a software engineer, and I was starting to see what Etsy and what other companies were doing with AI and data science and machine learning. And not only did I want to learn more, but I knew I wanted to move my career into that area. So I left my nice, cushy tech job and went back to get a master's in AI and computer science. So I've kind of gone from more hardware mechanical engineering and right into software, data science and AI. And I guess coming out of my degree, my master's degree in AI, I was working kind of in consultancy for some of the kind of top banks and insurance companies in Ireland, doing data analytics for them, learning interesting insights about their customer data. So it was really kind of interesting time to be in AI and data science.
Wow, you really seem to kind of jump onto AI and data science then quite early on. I mean, I know a lot of people know about AI and are talking about it now, but it seems like that you kind of identify it as a passion area for you almost before it kind of hit this trend that it's currently on at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's funny when something comes into the mainstream and kind of blows up, everyone is an AI engineer or a data science engineer, and every startup has AI in the heading. But these kind of algorithms that are being used now have not been around for a long time, but they've evolved from years of research and other companies building these models. So it's not a new thing. It's just kind of been brought into the mainstream. And I feel that's where kind of robotics is now. So we're seeing an underground movement towards robotics or embodied AI. And I do think that, you know, if we look 5 to 10 years in the future, we're going to see that big AI boom, but in robotics.
Fantastic stuff. And speaking of robotics, because this is where I wanted to kind of jump into the work that you and the team are doing, because the way I found out about your work is actually I was reading a Time magazine article about the best inventions of 2019, and a creation called Stevie was listed. So I don't want to explain too much, because I'd love to hear in your words, like, for those who may not know who or what Stevie is, if you could give us a quick overview of that.
Yeah, so Acara Robotics actually started out as a research group in Trinity College here in Dublin. And the research group were looking into originally building robots for caring for older adults in nursing homes. And nursing homes have a chronic staffing shortage. So you might have one carer for 50 nursing home residents. And that carer is caught up doing things like running an activity and doing some admin. They're not actually spending that one-on-one time with the human. And we saw this as a huge problem, because older adults are spent then watching TV or just not engaging. So we built a robot called Stevie, and that was built to have social interactions with older adults to try combat against social isolation and loneliness, but also to be an aid to a care worker who might need to look after all these people and want to spend more time with the person rather than doing admin tasks. So Stevie would, you know, read stories, would interact with patients, have conversations with them, and would run games of karaoke and bingo, which might seem trivial. But these activities are actually things that get older adults interacting with each other and more socially engaged. And loneliness is a huge problem in nursing homes. So Stevie was a way of combating against that.
That's really fascinating, because I think there is a huge interest overall of, like, as certain populations are getting older, there are questions around how are we going to support older populations. So it's great to see that Stevie is something that can supplement the overall support for aging populations and in nursing homes, but in nursing homes as well. Like, what are some of the biggest issues and challenges that you're seeing? And what are some of the issues and challenges that Acara are trying to help overcome in nursing homes?
Yeah, so we started tackling out the problem around loneliness in older adults. But when we got into nursing homes, we kind of did some research and asked around about what are the big problems that you're facing. And one was super bugs. So the number one reason why an older adult from a nursing home will go into a hospital is because they catch an infection, not because they fall or because of another ailment. It's because super bugs are such a huge problem and they're becoming drug resistant and antibiotic resistant. So we looked into what ways are they cleaning nursing homes and what way do we clean now? So that hasn't actually changed since the Spanish flu pandemic. So over 100 years ago, we're still using the same cleaning methods, bleach and a mop. And so we started looking into other more innovative ways of killing viruses. And we came across UV light. So UV light is really effective at killing viruses. So it actually breaks down the bacteria in the virus so it can't reproduce, rather than how chemicals work. And there's other added benefits. So, you know, against chemicals are harmful towards the skin, and nurses and cleaners actually end up having loads of COPD problems and asthma later on in life because they're using these chemicals. So we saw UV as a way around that and looked towards using autonomy and our robots to be able to clean the rooms faster using UV.
So I just need to go back to something because this was shocking. That most of the cleaning methods that are used in nursing homes and medical facilities haven't been updated since the Spanish flu. That's wild.
Yeah, exactly. They haven't changed at all. Cleaning is an area that has not really seen much innovation in the past 100 years. We're still cleaning the exact same way. So we're still using bleach. And things like pandemics, like the coronavirus pandemic, the one benefit that comes out of them is that we start to innovate more and faster. And that's really happened since COVID.
That's actually such an interesting point because it may have been my ignorance, but I wasn't thinking of superbugs until the pandemic hit. And it was only then that I myself had some semblance of like the importance of all of this. So obviously you mentioned there that it is heightening the kind of the need or the want for innovation, but has it also heightened the interest or increased the importance of having these new disinfectant solutions? Like, are you seeing more people kind of proactively tackling this challenge or more people approaching you to help tackle this challenge?
Yeah, for sure. So we've definitely seen a lot more interest from hospitals around our solutions. So now hospitals are looking at new ways that they can clean and disinfect. And there's this problem of overcrowding. So you have a lot of people in a hospital together. And if one person gets sick, it easily spreads. And if it spreads to a ward, it's very disruptive. They might have to move everyone out of that ward, manually clean it, which can take hours. So to disinfect a single hospital room that has had an infectious patient in it can take up to 3 hours. With our UV solution and robotics, we can automate this process and bring it down to under 15 minutes.
Wow. Wow. That's huge. That could have, I imagine that has massive implications in regards to hospitals and medical facilities being better able to actually invest in supporting the elderly or the actual people that are coming in for treatments. This could have a huge impact, I imagine.
Yeah, exactly. So when we first started out, we were focused on better cleaning and cleaning to a higher standard. So UV can remove viruses better than chemicals. But when we actually went into hospitals, we really found that what the problem they're having is it's a capacity and efficiency issue. So because it's taking so long to clean these rooms, it's meaning that patients aren't being moved fast enough through the hospital. And it's not only the actual physical task of cleaning, it's the overall process of when an infectious patient is found to, you know, tracking them back to see which rooms they've been in, getting a cleaner to that room, knowing when that room's cleaned. You know, hospitals actually end up cleaning a room two or three times because they haven't recorded when it's being cleaned. So it's taking up more time. So we went in first with a autonomous robot, and now we've built out a suite of digital tools that streamline the whole cleaning process, that record when a room is cleaned, who cleaned it, and can alert to when an infectious patient has been in a room. So at the end of the day, an infection control nurse can have a dashboard of an overview of how cleaning has been done in a hospital on a ward. So, you know, it starts out with the robot, but we've actually built out an entire digital tool set to be able to tackle this inefficiency problem. And, you know, when you go into a hospital, everything is manual. Like, they're still using pagers to call a cleaner. So I think the pandemic has helped with moving that forward and people realizing that they need to invest in innovation and technology now to be able to future-proof for the future.
I love that. I mean, I'm just thinking about a time at the very start of the pandemic. I had to go get a test for COVID, and it was like I don't think they had the nasal swabs. I was actually getting a blood test, and I queued for 3.5 hours. And when I went in, like, it took like, you know, it's literally 2 seconds. Like, they're done. You know, I'm now thinking it must have been because of the amount of sterilization work, cleaning work that they had to do, especially in those early days of the pandemic, to make sure that, you know, somebody coming in wasn't going to be exposed to anything, that the nursing staff weren't exposed, that everything was kind of kept completely sanitized. And it just must have been such a monumental effort at this time. So it really seems like that the work that you guys are doing could save a huge amount of time and mean that people get seen quicker and treated quicker, which is, you know, when it comes to the medical space, that is a matter of life and death.
Yeah, exactly. And the WHO predict that by 2030, we will have a 10 million healthcare worker shortage. So it's a problem now, but if we look 10 years in the future, it's going to be an even bigger bigger issue. And the people that are in hospitals now are getting older and older, so they're more vulnerable to diseases and viruses. So we really need to put precautions in place now to be able to prevent this happening in the future.
A quick pause in today's podcast. If you are in the New York City area, then we have something for you. The Digital Irish is back with a live event on the 25th of January. That is Thursday, the 25th of January. This one is all about decoding truth in a post-AI world. We are going to be joined by Santiago Leon, who is head of advocacy and education, the Content Authenticity Initiative as part of Adobe. This is going to be an event on in the Bank of Ireland Hub in New York City. If you're interested in joining, there is an Eventbrite link in our show notes, or you can go to digitalirish.com. The event will also feature a couple of startups who are going to be pitching their business to the audience. And there's also going to be some networking and drinks for folks who stay on afterwards. If you are in New York, check out that event. Now back to the podcast. So with that, I want to pivot back to Akara and like the work that you're doing, because obviously, once you started going into nursing homes, you identified this challenge with cleaning, disinfecting. You've kind of highlighted there the sheer scale of the problem that's ahead and the importance of cleaning and disinfectant. So I'd love for you to tell us about Violet, what it is and what goals you set out for it.
Yeah, so Violet is a UV disinfection robot that can autonomously move around hospital rooms. It uses UV light to break down viruses and bacteria that might be on the surfaces of those hospital rooms. And it does this all autonomously, so without the need for a person to come in and actually move it around. And there's some other robots on the market where you need to have the person come in and physically move it around, whereas Akara is a robotics company, so we've managed to be able to do this autonomously.
That's wonderful. So, right now, where could somebody see Violet at work?
Yeah, so we've recently just had our first sale of our Violet robot. So we're working with a hospital called the Friarage. It's an NHS Trust hospital over in the UK. And so over the summer, we deployed our technology there for a month. So while we were doing that, as it's a new technology, you always have to do research and prove that it's working. So we were recording the microbial reduction in rooms and found that our robot was faster and clean to a higher standard to what they were currently doing. So that has converted now into our first sale. So those deployments are headed over to the UK now next week.
Oh, well, congratulations. That's amazing news.
Yeah, we're delighted because it is always, selling into hospitals can be difficult, especially if you're a startup. But getting your kind of first customers and getting, those first hospitals that really see the advantages of the technology is always a difficult thing to do. But when you get that first customer, you have a site that other customers can come and see the products working and see the advantages.
Yeah, of course. And one thing I'm thinking of there, you when you're talking about like selling into like nursing homes and hospitals, I imagine that some of them may have kind of either unique needs depending on the kinds of patients that they have or just the kind of treatments that they're dealing with. Like, how are you kind of analyzing and providing the right solutions for different nursing homes and different hospitals?
Yeah, and that's a really important thing to do. So firstly, when we work with a hospital, we try to understand more about their current cleaning processes. So what are they doing now? What are their biggest worries? So some hospitals have a certain superbug that they're worried. So for example, and there's a superbug called C. diff, and it has very high mortality rate. It's really difficult to kill. So there might be some specific issue that they have that they want solved. So we try to figure out that, and then we come up with a kind of cleaning regime for them using our robots. But not only our robots, we use the scheduling tools so that the human cleaners can work more efficiently as well.
That's fantastic. And so with that, you obviously have the robots, you have the human cleaners. What kind of impact have you seen from Violet to date? Like, what kind of results are you seeing for some of these, for some of the tests that you've done w in hospitals and nursing homes?
I think a really interesting area where we've seen impact in terms of robotics. So when we first went into hospitals, we were maybe a bit nervous that the people working there had never seen, let alone used, a robot before. There's always that question, will robots replace jobs, or is it going to impact my workflow? So we really took that into account, and we almost co-designed the robot with cleaners. So they would have kind of our first pilot sites would have we learned a lot from how the humans were cleaning, and they would give us feedback on the robots. So we've actually seen that cleaners are actually excited to have this new technology because it's like a tool for them to use. So one of the major impacts we've seen is kind of cleaners embracing the technology and embracing the robotics, more so than what we might have thought in the beginning. But in terms of how effective Violet is we've shown research we've published in the Journal for Infection Control, one of the biggest journals in the world for infection control, that our robot cleans to a higher standard than manual cleaning.
Do you know what's really interesting? I hear and read so much about the worries that AI and robotics are going to replace humans, but it really does sound like that even though, Akara and like Violet in this situation are having these really positive impacts, that there is still the room for the human element and the human cleaning staff as part of it. And to your point, it's really fascinating to hear then how they're actually, the human cleaners are actually embracing having a robot that actually improves their ability to get something clean and disinfected. It's fantastic.
Yeah, like it is important, I think, to take that into account, what effect your technology will have it on the worker, the human in the loop. So one of the things that we did at Acara when we started out was we actually spent a whole day, some members of the team spent a whole day working alongside a cleaner, actually cleaning a hospital to understand how the workflow went so that we could decide how the robot would best fit into their workflow and not replace it.
Are you finding yourself having to spend a lot of time in hospitals and nursing homes at the moment yourself?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the key to our success so far is that we spend a lot of time with the users. So we really feel that in order to build the best product for the user, you have to build it with the user. So many, not just robotics companies, but so many companies in general fail because they build a product and then they just give it to the user and expect them to be able to figure it out. And they can't really get inside the head of the person that's going to be using it because they don't know how their everyday works. So that's one of the, I think, keys to our success so far.
And, you know, with that, you must be hearing some really interesting feedback insights that are helping you to improve the products that you're creating and the services that you're offering. Are you also hearing about other healthcare challenges that you and the team are now thinking about tackling in the future?
Yeah, for sure. I think we are probably one of the few first companies to bring robotics into healthcare. And when you go into a hospital, you really see that they do almost everything manually. And it's been an area that's slower to adopt technology and innovation. And so there are so many areas that we are looking into. You know, we have an autonomous mobile base in a robot. There's so many different avenues that we can move into. For now, we're really focusing on the disinfection, but there's always kind of room to expand from that.
So you're really saying that the sky's the limit right now. So while you're focusing on the disinfecting and the cleaning, the opportunity for Acara is huge to revolutionize the efficiency of hospitals and hospital spaces.
Yeah, for sure. We kind of see ourselves as building, you know, the hospital of the future. So, you know, bringing hospitals forward in terms of innovation and technology. We see ourselves as one of the forerunners in doing that.
So thinking of what the hospital of the future looks like, what does it actually look like in 5 years from now, like, or 10 years from now? Like, what could be the impact of Acara?
So it's funny because there's certain areas where robotics has done really well. So, for example, in warehouses or very kind of constrained environments where you don't have members of the public coming in and, you know, getting in the robot's way. But in terms of social robots or robots, you know, being in restaurants or around the public, I actually think in hospitals is one of the best places to start because, you know, there's practical reasons. Hospitals are used to moving hospital beds around. They're used to, you know, working with technology. So it's a really good kind of starting space for robots around people. So I foresee, you know, in the next 5 years that it's going to be commonplace to see a robot moving around a hospital and to interact with a robot in a hospital. But there's so many other areas that hospitals can innovate in terms of kind of getting themselves ready for that. So moving more forward in terms of digitizing workflows, you know, stopping using paper to record things. So there's some infrastructure that I think needs to be put in place before that can happen. But I think we're kind of on the cusp of that.
Have you thought about like other areas and other sectors as well? Because one thing that I've been thinking about where I was kind of seeing an overlap of like everyday life and hospitals is, as somebody that has suffered from food poisoning in the last like 12 months, I'm just thinking, wow, I wish that restaurant had something that could actually clean their surfaces the way that you're talking about. Do you see this kind of space as well, where it's like, hey, like hospitals is a great environment to begin this, but really robotics like this could be seen pretty much anywhere and anywhere, that the need for cleaning and sanitization and improvement in that space is needed?
Yeah, and we actually, get messages quite frequently from people in different sectors reaching out to us looking at new ways of cleaning. So like in manufacturing, there's some manufacturing lines that can't, you can't wash something down, or you can't have it use like a chemical on it that UV could be used for. There's agriculture is a really big area, and that's a big area that's taking off in terms of robotics as well. So, we were contacted recently by someone growing a certain crop that was infected with viruses. It's a really big area that they're looking at UV now. So really, we started in hospitals because that's something that we're passionate about, and we started out as a research group with. But we do plan to move into other verticals once we get this one down.
Amazing stuff. Well, you obviously have a great team behind you. You've recently sold into hospitals in the UK. You seem to have grand aspirations and a lot of upward potential for Akara. But of course, it's not just the time and the people resources that make these kind of companies. It's also the investment behind it. So I believe you are actually opening up an investment round at the moment, is that right?
So up until now, we've mostly been funded through grants. So we were awarded the EIC Accelerator Grant by the European Union, which has allowed us to build a market-ready product and get some traction with customers. But we're at the stage now where we're moving to raise a seed round. So, we're kind of on a trajectory now where we have our first customers, we're moving forward fast, and we're growing our team. So, that's the next step for us.
Fantastic stuff. So let's just say if our audience wants to learn more about the work that you're doing or how they could potentially like lean in as an investor, where could they find out more? Where could they read more?
Yeah, so on our website, akara.ai, so akara.ai, and there's our contact information is up there.
Fantastic stuff. Well, Niamh, I want to just thank you again for taking out the time. As I said at the beginning, this is an exceptionally busy time for you. I will also, in the back of my mind, I will have to admit that I'm also thinking that Akara must be doing a great job, because if you're spending your time researching superbugs and going in the middle of flu season, and you're not sick yourself right now, you guys must be doing something right. Great work there. But again, just thank you so much for taking out the time. This has been a really fascinating conversation. So I just wish you the best of luck, and the best of luck with the funding round as well.
Great. Thanks so much, Dave.
And that is it for today's podcast. A massive thank you again to Niamh Donnelly of Akara Robotics for joining us. If you did like this episode, please subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcast. Please also share this episode with anybody that you think may find it interesting. As Niamh mentioned, if you are interested in learning more about Akara Robotics, please go to akara.ai. For now, let's have a quick preview of our next episode.
I did have, great roles and great organizations, but for some reason, it just, it wasn't working for me anymore on sort of a personal, professional level. The Obama administration had passed the Affordable Care Act. And so somebody I had worked with previously reached out to me and asked me to become her deputy in a very small office in a branch of the Department of Health and Human Services. I basically said, give it a shot, sat down, talked to my wife. She said, sure, give it a shot, do it for 2 years. What's the worst that can happen? It turned out to be, without a shadow of a doubt, the best career decision I've ever made in my life.
We will be back in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening.